Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, all you freaks out there. This is Ryan, and I am back where I belong on Monday night. We had a special show last night. Angie and I did, because she's going to be working tonight. So if you missed it, we had a show last night. We talked about pretty much what we did on our vacation, and we tried different snack foods from Turkey. We get something called a Universal Yum's box sent to our house every month. this month it was turkey, and let me tell you what, Turkish people, they do not have very good food. The snacks were good, but the so-called sweets, candy and stuff was definitely left something to be desired. You can watch us try each all those different snacks and stuff on the Freaking Awesome Paranormal Show Facebook page. I don't know if you can hear it in the background, but I've got a little mini co-host playing in the living room. RJ decided that he wasn't going to go to sleep before the show started, so he's going to be probably joining me at some point. He does not like being in the living room for too long. So at some point I have to pick him up and bring him in here with me. But it's good to be back. We've got a good show for you tonight. We've got Tangi Cassidy on the line. She's going to come on and talk about what she has going on, and I'm definitely looking forward to talking to her. And, without further ado, let's get this show on the road here. First, before I say anything else, I got a cut. I think I bit out of my tongue or something. Either when I was sleeping last night or I don't know. But it's hard for me to talk. I feel like I'm talking like weird. So if I sound weird, that's why. I got a cut on the side of my tongue here. So if I sound weird for any reason, well, that's the reason why. There's no reason. That's the reason. It's because I've got a cut on my tongue. So sorry about that. It's annoying as hell. So, just letting you know what's going on in my life. So let me go ahead and put Miss Tangi Cassidy on the line here. It comes through. Good
hey,
evening.
Ryan.
How are you?
It's good to talk to you. I am fantastic. It's good to be here.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking for a while now, and it's good to actually have you on the show to help you promote what the classes you're going to be teaching.
Well, so should I talk a little bit about myself so people understand?
So how did you realize you had these gifts?
You know, I had experiences as a young child that other kids around me weren't having. I realized I wasn't like other children very early on when kids would play make-believe games and they would use their imaginations to, like, imagine themselves in different places or have imaginary friends and stuff. My brain didn't work like that. I don't see things in my mind's eye. I have a condition that I found out now since I'm an adult that's called antiphantasia, which basically means, like, you don't see pictures in your brain. So thinking back on that, when I'm
dreaming,
the only time I see pictures in my brain is when I'm dreaming. Have difficulty, if you ask me right now to describe my husband's face, I would have a hard time doing that. But looking back on that, I realize now that, like, the things that I was seeing that my adults would tell me were imaginary friends were not my imagination. I was seeing people that other people didn't see, and I wasn't frightened by it. I had some difficulty with the concept of death and what that meant, because when I was very young, a family member passed away and people were very upset about it, and I didn't get it. Because they were telling me he was gone and he was never coming back, but he was standing there right beside me. So I learned very quickly that telling people that kind of stuff made them really uncomfortable. So I did what I think a lot of people do, was that I started repressing that and ignoring it so that I could be normal. And did a pretty good job of burying that stuff down deep and didn't realize that that's what I had done until I became an adult, and I've spent probably the last decade of my life trying to open that door again. And the techniques that other people traditionally use, like visualization, for instance, is not something I can do. But I've found ways to adapt that. So if I can learn to open up my intuition in spite of my inability to visualize, anybody can learn to do this. So I'm sort of on a mission right now to help people reconnect with their intuition so that they can live their lives more confident about the decisions they're making and more comfortable in the situations that they go into. So, for instance, people in a paranormal field might find that it's helpful to be more connected to their intuition when they're going into an unknown location. And you're not really sure. I mean, you may have heard some history and some stories about where you're going, but you're not really sure that those things are true. And maybe having a better connection with your intuition lets you walk into that situation and know whether this is a safe situation or whether this is a situation that you need to be more guarded. So that's kind of what I'm on a mission to do, is like help people connect with that so that they can live their lives more in touch with what I call magic, right? And that's my own thing, because of who I am and what my background is. But, and you know, I don't think of intuition specifically as magic or specifically as something mystical or woo-woo, you know. That's up for every person to decide, right? If that's magic, if that's a superhuman ability, if it makes you a superhero, whatever it is. But I just think that intuition is this sort of an ambassador between your subconscious and your conscious mind. So if I can teach you how to communicate with that ambassador, you can start using all of the information that you've collected, even the stuff you're not aware that you've collected, to help you make decisions. And so that's what I'm really on a mission to do right now, is to help people with that.
Yeah, I mean, I know for myself, I do these visualization meditations and stuff, and like I was listening to them on YouTube, and it's hard for me to stay focused on the visualizations. So I get bits and pieces of what they're trying to get me to visualize, but then I start, you know, other stuff starts entering my mind. So being able to, you know, maybe like focus more on, you know, the task at hand and not have all these other things coming into my mind, which I guess you don't really daydream, because I guess you can't daydream, right?
I don't see pictures. I hear like audiobooks, like stories. That's how my imagination works.
I gotcha. So I'm looking at your page right here, and it says Awakening Magical Creatures. Does that mean trying to get people more in tune with their intuition?
Right. So I believe that every person that is on this planet has the ability to tap into something outside of themselves, something superhuman or supernatural. I believe we all have the ability to do that. I believe that we are all magical creatures. It's just that we don't know, or we've had this shared experience where we've been conditioned to ignore that because it makes us weird.
What I want to go down with you about how we've been conditioned to not, you know, pretty much believe in any of that stuff.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I think that I personally really struggled with this block between me and my intuition. That's what I call them, like these locked doors that won't let you go through. I struggled with a block because when I was growing up, I was allegedly a gifted kid and like into science and math and stuff, and really got into the scientific method. And I developed this mindset that if it couldn't be explained with science, that it just wasn't real. And I call it intellectual hubris. Well, if I don't understand it, then it can't be so. If you can't prove it reliably, if you can't repeat it, it can't be so. But pardon me, I have yet to see the Big Bang happen and create a universe again, but we all pretty much agree that that's happened and that's why we're here. So miracles do occur, and sometimes it's a one-off thing, and the conditions are never the same. So I had to get over that block where I was telling myself, well, you can't believe in this intuition stuff because it's not logical. It's not analytical. It's not factual. Therefore, it can't be true, and people who believe in that are silly. And it took me a long time to get around that. I have a friend who studies neuroscience, and sitting down and speaking with this individual made me realize there was a lot about the brain and how the brain works that I don't understand, and a lot about how our subconscious mind works that I didn't understand, and that I had sort of discounted the power of our subconscious mind. I was like that's just a place where dreams go, right? But that's not necessarily true. Your subconscious mind is super powerful. It does the stuff that your conscious brain can't do. It's the part of your brain that reminds you to breathe, that reminds your heart to beat, that tells your body that you're getting a cold, so you better send some antibodies to fight off that infection. Like, that's some pretty powerful stuff. And that's all going on in the background without my consciousness having to get involved. It's also the part of your brain that collects all of the information of all of the things that you, all the data that you're not even aware that you're taking in. So it's all the subtle signs and symbols and programs that are out there that we're not even aware we're taking into ourselves. Our subconscious mind is cataloging this stuff. So when you go to sleep at night, you'll have these dreams where, like, you see people that you don't know who they are, but they're in your dreams. Where you're going to places that are kind of like places that you've been, but not quite right. Or you're running into signs and symbols that you don't really recognize. But when you see them in your dreams, they make sense because you're processing all that subconscious data that your conscious mind didn't even know you had to work with. So that's super powerful stuff. So if you can find a way to bridge that gap between this big storehouse of subconscious information and use that to make conscious decisions, aren't you making better informed decisions? You're making decisions based on everything. Yeah, that's super powerful. That's not nonsense. Yeah. That's not silly. That's utilizing everything you have power to access. But we just pretend that it's not real because we're not trained to do that. Well, you're talking about like trying to do meditation and you can't focus, because I'm sure when you were growing up, people were telling you that you need to focus and concentrate, but nobody told you how to focus or how to concentrate. Right? It was just focus and concentrate, but I don't know what that means. How do I do that?
Well, at the same time, they tell you when you meditate, you gotta need to clear your mind. And I'm like, I don't know how to clear my mind. There's always something. If you tell me not to think about something, I'll think about something. No matter what
it
is.
It's impossible.
But, you know?
It's not. People who can clear their minds are people who don't have, they have a wonderful lifestyle that allows them to avoid all of the clutter and information and like mundane needs and wants and like paying the bills and like worrying about like whether or not the plumbing is getting fixed and like all the list of things that we have to do in our life that never shuts down. And they have a life that allows them to withdraw from society. I think if you could be a monk and be in hermitage, I'm sure it's a lot easier to get to a place of stillness, but it's not something that our society values. So it's not something we've learned how to do. So I've had to adapt. Like, meditation for me is not sitting in the lotus position chanting Om hundreds of times until my mind becomes still. That's not how I get my messages. That's not how it works for me. For me, often meditation, what I call meditation and mindfulness, is me doing something that doesn't require a lot of my attention. I've received profound, profound messages doing something as simple as getting up in the morning and being quiet and not speaking to another living human being, not turning on the TV, not turning on the social media, just being quiet and going about really simple tasks like making my bed. I received life-changing information just making my bed. messages that made me sit down on the floor and weep because they were so profound and so true. And so the way we think about meditation is really narrow. Like, we just have this idea and that, like, you have to go to yoga classes or you have to go in a meditation in Tibet or something. And that's not true. Those are ways to get there, but they're not the only way. Like, we have to adapt and find what works for us and in our culture.
Yeah, I've learned that the harder I try to think or try not to think, the more I think. But when I do stuff, like you said, like making your bed or cleaning, I mean, I find I get joy in cleaning the house. It gives me a chance to concentrate on one thing. And then, I don't know if I get, like, the divine messages or whatever from when I'm cleaning, but I've definitely, my head is definitely more clear than when I'm actually trying to meditate.
Well, maybe I should talk about, like, what the voice of intuition sounds like for me. I'm not talking about, like, making a funny voice, but more like the tone and the content of how that stuff is delivered. So in, like, the classical pantheons, Greek and Roman pantheons, there's always a god who mm-hmm. is the only god that can move back and forth between the realm of the gods and the realm of men, and we call them a psychopomp. And that is traditionally Mercury, who gets a bad rap, okay? Because Mercury gets to go back and forth between Mount Olympus and to the world of men and ferry messages back and forth and sort of aid gods and men to coming to agreement. That's what intuition is. That's your psychopomp between your subconscious mind, right, the realm of the gods, and your conscious uh-huh. mind, the realm of men. And so your intuition is the thing that can move back and forth between there. Your intuition is just the messenger. It doesn't have any skin in the game. It has no emotional content or attachment to the message it's delivering you. It just says, here's the message. So if you're getting messages and you're feeling emotional content attached to it, that's not your intuition. That's probably fear or probably ego or some combination thereof. Mm-hmm. So the little voice inside that's always telling you nasty things, like you can't do this and you're not good enough and who do you think you are, that's not your intuition.
Yeah.
Right? That's something else. That's a block that you've got to overcome by doing some introspection so that you can look at that thing and go, yeah, I don't think that's true. Your intuition always comes to you and says, this is the thing. This is the information. Do with it what you will. It's very calm.
How do you?
And it really doesn't have. Yeah. Go ahead.
Say, so how do you recognize the intuition as that, as opposed to that another voice in your head, like you said, the one that's telling you, even if it's not telling you you're not good enough or whatever. How do I know it's not myself manufacturing the message, or it comes out of nowhere?
There's the metaphysical conundrum that we have to get around the intellect part. Okay, the messages are always mm-hmm. coming from you, always. There's a thing that I believe in called collective consciousness. Like, okay, so you go to work and you've got, like, a grumpy coworker that's always complaining and is always trying to, like, get you to be involved in their pissing and moaning and bitching about stuff. And, like, you can go to work in a great mood, but, like, 3 minutes with in contact with that person and you're not feeling very good about yourself, right?
Uh-huh.
They've contaminated you with that so that you're aware of that person, right, contaminating you with that, like, bad vibration and bad thoughts and stuff.
Yeah.
There's another side to that. Like, say, like, at a time in our culture, like, all of a sudden a bunch of movies or TV shows or books or whatever come out about basically the same thing, right? So, like, The Matrix came out and Existence came out and a bunch of movies and TV shows came out about how, like, the reality that we're living in isn't really what we think it is.
Yeah.
And it's like those people who wrote those things all suddenly got the same information at the same time because they did. It comes from the same place. Like, we all have the ability to tap into that same information all the time, because I think that I am just basically a cell in the divine body. And what affects me affects you. And what affects you affects me. And what we do affects the collective divine body and the collective consciousness. So sometimes when all of a sudden you get a message and you're not sure where it came from, you have a thought that just pops into your head and you don't know where the heck it came from. I mean, it came from you. It's your brain. You got that information from someone, right? So it's always you. And you should always look at those messages. But the difference between, you know, a message from intuition and a message from fear is like intuition doesn't care what you do with the message. Intuition isn't urging you to act. It's not urging you to not act. Fear is always telling you either don't do this thing or it's going to be terrible. Yeah. You're going to die, whatever. Or you have to do the thing or, you know, we're going to be homeless living in a box under a bridge. Do the thing. But intuition is like, here's the information. Do what you will. I don't care. So you don't feel stressed out when intuition shows up.
So what's the difference between a message from your intuition and that of a message from like a spirit guide or something like that? Or is it the same thing?
That comes with, I think, developing a relationship with your guardians, guides, angels, allies, what have you. I have a peculiar thing that happens when my guides are close by and I'm getting messages from them. I get a really high-pitched ringing in my right ear. And then I get a message. It's bizarre, but that's what happens for me. And so that's the system that we've set up so that I know that that's where that's coming from. Generally, when I'm getting major downloads from what I call the big head, you know, like incoming message from the big head, I usually have some physical discomfort. Like, I might get flushed. I might get a headache, which is real common for me. I might get pain in my neck. I might get pain in my temples. I just get some pressure. Like, it just feels like some pressure pushing on me when I'm getting major information from the divine consciousness. But I spend a lot of time every day trying to work on that connection. And I think that when it first starts happening to you, it's difficult to distinguish this from that and the other. And it just becomes a thing about taking the time and examining the content and the tone of the message. You'll start to see that there is a similar feeling or lack of feeling, really, when it's coming from intuition. And then there's a different feeling if it's coming from your ego, and there's a different feeling if it's coming from an outside source. It's like communicating with different people. Like, you know how it feels when you're having a conversation with your best friend and you're having a conversation with your boss. There's a different tone and the content is different. It feels different. Inside your body, it feels different. So those are the things you have to start looking at. You have to, like, take a moment and analyze. I encourage people to journal, like, write stuff down or type it in a log on your computer somewhere. Just start keeping track of, like, this is what happened and this is how I was feeling. And, like, when I got this message, I felt, like, really sick in my stomach. Or when I got this message, I felt really, like, excited. And when I got this message, I really didn't feel anything at all. It was just matter of fact. Like, here's the information. And you'll start to like build up a catalog and be able to say, oh, that was intuition talking to me. And so when I acted on that, these good things happened. And when I ignored it, I missed these opportunities. So it's really about cataloging the data and starting to keep track of, like, how you're feeling. And, like, I think for me, like, the quickest, like, hack for getting into intuition is to, like, getting your quiet space, whatever that is for you, whether it's meditating, whether it's washing the dishes, whether it's going for a walk, you know, taking the dog for a walk, whatever you got to do to get some peace and quiet. I'll just ask, what is the truth? Right? I'm working on this thing. What is the truth? What is the information I need to proceed? I'm ready. And 9 times out of 10, intuition will give me the information that I'm looking for. And that 10th time, I just assume it means I'm not ready for the information right now. Because a lot of times I think I'm ready when I'm not, because I'm still a human and I still have problems with my ego. still think I'm smarter than I am. Still think I know more than I do. And so I'm constantly, you know, being reminded that that's not true. I'm still learning. I'm still tackling my own blocks and my own traumas and dealing with my own nonsense, just like everyone else. I think the other thing that's important to talk about is like, I think the other thing that's important to talk about when you talk about intuition is the difference between an intuition message and an instinct message. So when you get a message and it's primal and instinctive and you feel fearful, it's because you're picking up on some immediate, imminent threat to your well-being, and you need to pay attention to that, and you need to react to that immediately. Do not take the time to journal it out. Do not take the time to ask the questions. If you're walking alone in a dark parking garage and something inside of you feels uneasy and says you need to get the heck out of here, you just run. And don't worry about looking stupid. Just get yourself out of the situation, because that instinct is there to keep you safe. And you shouldn't take time to sort of like psychoanalyze yourself about it. If you don't feel safe, remove yourself from the situation. Super important. Because of the collective consciousness thing that we're going through, our culture is going through a thing right now where we're suffering from a lot of like really pervasive and like an overwhelming amount of fear and uncertainty and a feeling of powerlessness. And when you're surrounded by fearful people, you start to pick up on that fear. And like, no matter like how much time you spend trying to like be positive and lift your vibration and have a different energy, you're not immune to being contaminated by that fear. So you have to be aware not only of like the immediate, like obvious impact of the things around you, but of like the mood of the people around you. Like empaths are super sensitive to that stuff. They have to be very super protective of themselves and very conscious of shielding themselves from other people's stuff. But I think we all need to be aware of that, because whatever is going on in the world right now, there's so much fear and uncertainty and doubt that a lot of people respond to fear with anger. And they lash out, and that makes things violent and unsafe. So if you are feeling this fearful vibe around you, get out. Just get out. There's nothing wrong with being wrong about it. Like, you're still safe, right? But if you feel unsafe and you stay, then you've ignored a warning sign that could have saved you some discomfort or possibly, you know, some pain. So I just want to really stress to people, like, if you ever feel unsafe, don't stop to examine it. Just react to it and remove yourself from the situation as quickly as possible.
Just get out.
Because tuning into your intuition, if you are not somebody who can do it immediately to assess the situation, don't spend time trying to do it. If something tells you you're not safe, bolt. Because I would rather be wrong 9 times out of 10 and like leave a situation where it wasn't necessary for me to leave. Because that one time that I was right may have saved my life. So I can't stress that strongly enough. Like, this is something, like, working on your intuition is something that you should do in a safe time and a safe place. And it's critical that maybe you establish some like daily quiet time for yourself to do that. The hardest thing that we have to overcome in our society is the amount of noise around us. So
there's,
if you can
noise,
set aside just like, give yourself 20 minutes a day where you turn off the phone and you turn off the TV and you just don't talk to anybody. If you got to go hide in the bathroom, go hide in the bathroom, because your body, your soul, your mind needs that quiet. Even if your mind is still running through all the lists of all the things that you have to do, that's okay. Just shut your mouth, right? Just be quiet and just let yourself be in a place of silence, just so things can progress and process. And if the list is running, that's okay. Let the list run. You may come up with a solution. But when we're constantly bombarded by so much noise and so much information, it's very difficult to get to a place where you can hear that quiet, not so intrusive voice of intuition. Intuition rarely shows up with bells and whistles and sirens saying, ta-da, this is the information. For me, it's uh-huh. usually pretty gentle and pretty quiet. And if I'm not quiet, I might miss it. And some of those messages that I've gotten have been so beautiful and so life-changing for me, have put me back on my path when I've been way, way out in the weeds, so that I can be a better person than I was yesterday. And sometimes that's all the message is. Do better.
So when did you first, like, what was the first, like, time you decided, hey, I need to get back to where I was? You said you're a gifted child, but then you kind of pushed it down. You got into science and stuff. When did you decide that, hey, this is not, there's something else there, and I need to reexamine my life and go back to the way it was?
Okay, so I have been fortunate enough to have been raised in a pretty open family. I mean, we were Southern Baptist. I lived in Central Florida. We were Southern Baptist. It was, you know, pretty hardcore. But I started studying the old ways when I was about 17, more out of like an interest in history, because something about the Templar Knights was really fascinating to me. I couldn't let it go. So I started studying when I was about 17, and I've been, you know, I would study for a few years, and then I would like read some books, and then I would lose interest in it, or life would happen. And, you know, life just kept happening. And then one day I found myself this person who, on the one hand, was like deeply in love with the whole stupid world, right? Like the trees and the birds and the bugs and like everything. I just wanted to save everything. And yet I worked for a mining company. And that sort of incongruency in my life started to weigh on me on a subconscious level. Even though I was making good money, even though my coworkers were nice people, even though they did good things for each other, even though, you know, we were just doing the job we were there to do, there was this feeling inside of me that I was in the wrong place and that I was doing the wrong thing, and that if I continued on this course, I was going to be terribly unhappy. And I started having experiences that I had not had in my adult life. I moved into a house a few blocks down the street from my parents because my mother was diagnosed with cancer and I wanted to be closer to her. I moved into this house and I started having these experiences that I had not had. I started having like weird, like movie level paranormal experiences. I woke up one, like on several mornings, and found like this weird green mucusy ooze in the middle of my bathroom floor and had no explanation for it. I would have friends over who would get tricked by things that they couldn't see and would refuse to come over again. I got pushed down a flight of stairs. I couldn't go down in the basement because every time I started to go down the basement, I had a strong urge to run back up the stairs. I don't want to be here. And I realized, like, I'm a grown-ass witch, and I'm freaking out because I'm living in a haunted house. What is wrong? There's something that's not connecting here. I need to be more connected. I need to understand what it is that I'm running into. Because my response was fear, because I couldn't explain it. And that was that intellectual hubris again, telling me, well, if I can't explain it by science, it can't be happening. But there was this other part of me that said, no, man, magic is real, and ghosts are real, and spirits do things to try and give you messages, and you're just not paying attention. So I said, I gotta stop doing what I'm doing here, and I've got to redirect some energy towards figuring this out. Because science isn't giving me the answers, because logic isn't giving me the answers. There's something else. There's something that is bigger than this. So about 10 years ago, I doubled down and I started seriously studying witchcraft and like seeking out people in the metaphysical community to mentor me and to help me. And I went to my teacher one day and said, look, I'm frustrated because I have this block. Like I can't open my third eye. I can't see things. I have this block. I don't know what happened to me. And they said, well, like, you made that decision. You shut that down yourself. You have to make the decision to open it up yourself. And I said, okay, I'm gonna work on that. And for the past decade, that's what I do. I get up every day and I move in silence and I work on that. And I started to see things that other people weren't seeing. And I knew it wasn't my imagination because my imagination doesn't work that way. And I realized I've opened the door. And so I thought, well, gosh, if I can open this door and I have this special brain, right? I'm not going to say defective brain, a special brain. I have this special brain, then certainly I can help other people who want to do this who maybe don't have this block with visualization that I do. Mm-hmm. Like, wouldn't it be easier for them if I could show them, like, there are some different ways to get there. Like, if what you're doing isn't working, then try something else. This is a thing that worked for me. See if that works for you. This is another thing that kind of worked for me. Maybe that'll work for you. Like, I just want to help people who want to tap into this. That's my mission right now. I just want to help. Because I feel like there's something shifting, that there's a lot more incidents of people having these experiences and not being able to deal with it, responding to it fearfully, assuming everything has malicious intent. Like, it's just like the collective fear thing is like overwhelming. And yet there's these beautiful experiences just waiting to be had if only we'd be open to them.
Yeah, I can see people who don't understand what's happening to them being scared of what's going on, because a lot of people fear what they don't know or don't understand. And it's good to have someone like you who can help them understand, you know, what they're going through. They just got to be able, you know, make the effort or take the first step to try and get in touch with you and you know, make first contact.
Yeah, I genuinely want to help. Like, I'm on a mission to help the community. Like, if people feel like I have something that I can say or do for them that's going to help them, then I want to do that, and vice versa. Like, I'm not an expert. I am a very dedicated sort of novice, right? I'm not going to say like I'm the grand high poobah of intuition, because I'm not. I've opened the door and I'm starting to see things and feel things and experience things and know things that are life-changing for me, that are bringing me out of the darkness, that are giving me hope. Yeah.
You can relate to the people who are like me, who are like, I don't know what the hell's going on, but something's happening. You know, plus it's the way the world is now. People are a lot more open to these experiences, and the spiritual movement is a lot more popular than it was even like 10 years ago. With the Facebook and social media and stuff, people can communicate more and stuff.
Isn't that beautiful?
It doesn't
like
have to be
have all this connectivity. Yeah, we can talk to each other and you don't feel alone. And that's a thing for me. Like, anybody who's out there and you're having experiences, you're not alone. And just because your experiences aren't necessarily like these crazy, like wild Hollywood style experiences, doesn't make them any less real. If you're having an experience and it's something as simple as like, I'm sitting at my desk at night and I keep noticing like these pens in this cup keep clacking together and I'm not moving and I'm not touching them, you're having an experience. And it is no more or less legitimate than somebody who's seeing an apparition down the hallway. You're having, there's something happening. And you need to like look at it, because it's happening in front of you for a reason. And if you're not sure how to negotiate that, then sure, you're going to be afraid. Like, I can't explain it, so I'm afraid. Of course you're going to be afraid. There's nothing wrong with that either. But assuming that everything has like sort of like some bad intent is not necessarily true. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just energies. They're just entities. They're just people. They're just in another room. That's the way that I look at it. And just like anybody else that you meet, some people are awesome and some people suck. but everybody's just trying to do the best they can with what they've got. So don't assume something's happening is bad.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was waiting for you. Sorry.
Okay. You know what amazes me? I'm a paranormal investigator, and I go on these investigations. I get these voices. I get EVPs. I get EVPs a lot when I go out investigating. And it never really – when I was growing up, when I was younger, I was scared to ghosts. That really scared me growing up. But when I got older, I got into paranormal shows, and I got into watching like Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures and stuff like that. And I got into watching them because I enjoy watching the beginning of the show where they should talk about the history of the locations and stuff. And I always, you know, enjoyed those. And I got into paranormal investigating because I wanted to learn the history of the locations and learn about the people who I was investigating. They became less like scary objects. Like ghosts were scared because I didn't understand what they were. You know, I didn't. The fact that a person come back from the dead and you could see them was not normal to me. Therefore, it scared me. And since I didn't take time, and of course, when I was a kid, of course, it's going to scare you because when you're a kid, unless I guess you have the ability to see people who have died, maybe it's not so scary. But the people, kids who like myself, who did not have that ability, it was scary to think about someone who passed away coming back from the dead, or you know, spirit of them coming back from the dead. And since it wasn't normal, but you know, as I got older, I became more curious about it, and I got onto a paranormal team, and I started getting EVPs. But when I started getting listening to EVPs, that never scared me. It never. I still wish I could get more excited about it. I'm excited every time I get an EVP. I'm excited, but I get to keep reminding myself that hey, I'm listening to a voice from the dead that wasn't there before. I went to a plantation house in Powhatan, Virginia, and got a recording of an Indian chanting clear as day. Now, this is really cool. It was really cool, and it was really cool, but it wasn't like I wanted my mind to be more blown than it was. It feels normal to me to get these messages. Like, it's like, oh, they're just talking to me. Okay, that's cool. I'll walk into a haunted house now, a house I know is haunted, the one of the houses I run in Mechanicsville. I'll go in there, walk in there, you know, fine. And I'm wondering, you know, why that is. Why isn't it – why am I getting that, like, oh, my God. Not really a scared feeling, but more of an amazed feeling. That I'm here. I'm hearing voices from the dead here, you know?
Well, because it's you've come to realize, like, they just exist in a different way now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's still, if you were a wonderful human being when you were alive, you're going to be a wonderful human being when you're dead. And so you've come to realize, like, they're just people. They're just people that are existing in a different way who I don't happen to be able to see, but I hear them or I feel them. Right.
Yeah.
And it's just knowing that like, you're not alone. And for me, that's comforting, right? I'm not alone. And so my scientific mind goes, well, of course you wouldn't be because, you know, the thing that makes you alive is energy, and energy doesn't just go away. It gets turned into something else. So what happens when we leave our body? Our energy goes somewhere else. Now, whether that's like we decompose and become worm food and like grow a tree, that's energy. I mean, I can look at it purely scientifically, but I'm like, the thing that animates my flesh, that energy has to go somewhere. It doesn't just fizzle out.
Yeah.
So knowing that you're not alone for me is comforting. Like, no, like I'm not alone. I know that when I go somewhere, I've got a crew rolling with me, right? I have guardians and guides and ancestors, and that's how I interact with the paranormal. Those are my rules. No, no, no. You don't, like, random person that I don't know, you don't get to step up here and talk to me. You can talk to my guides, and my guides will decide whether or not you're cool, right? Because that's their job
is
to protect
they're
you.
Like, they're like the bodyguards at the, at the gate. You know, they're like, all right, you can come in. The bouncers,
you're cool.
I guess.
You're
better term for it.
You got some shifty intentions, so no, none for you. So that's the way that I interact. But a lot of people, when they're first opening up these abilities and first connecting, don't know how to establish good boundaries, and don't know how to leverage, you know, their crew. Like, you are not alone. Everybody has got at least one soul standing guard with them, like everybody, because there's just too many, right? I think that they get bored and they're like, nah, I'm going to come over here because I like this person's energy and I like what they're doing and I want to help them. So you're never alone, and you're just like, you have somebody there who's got your back, and that feels so comforting to me, that I know that whenever I leave this body, I'm not going to just become nothing. Like, my energy is going to go somewhere and do something. I'm going to continue to do something. And so I feel like it's okay when you're first learning this stuff to like set some boundaries, like some really hard boundaries that say, okay, so I'm opening up my intuition. And what I've discovered is that, like, I'm starting to like hear things. Maybe not like normal audibly hearing things, but like hear different voices in my head that I hadn't heard before, right? And I'm not talking about like a mental illness, schizophrenia, you know, the dog's telling me to do things kind of voice. But I'm hearing something different.
I think
stories.
I think the voices in your head connotation has a bad rap to it, because people say you hear voices in your head. Automatically makes people think you're crazy, because, you know, like Hollywood or social standards have made it sound like, oh, you have voices in your head, you must be a crazy person. And sometimes that might be true, but not all the time. I think a lot of people are scared because they don't want people to think they're crazy.
So here's the thing. So hearing voices and that being part of schizophrenia, part of, okay, it's not the only symptom. So hearing voices is not the only thing. Like, you might be developing a mental illness, a mental disorder. It might be coming up if you are having a combination of seeing things, some distorted thinking patterns, and behaving in a way that, like, it interferes with your ability to function. It's more than just hearing voices. Mental illness is more than just hearing voices. And when I hear these voices, it's not like random blah, 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 a couple of words and sentences.
Yeah.
Like, I will get, like, almost like scenes from a movie told to me. This is what happened, and this is what was said, and this is what occurred. Like, I'll get bits and pieces of stories, and sometimes I'll get whole stories. And I know that's not my imagination, because they're not things that I'm thinking of. They're not things that would ever even cross my mind, right? Like, I have no context of, like, what it would be like to live in, you know, the 1800s and live on a farm. Like, I don't know what that's like. I have no, but I'll have a complete story told to me. Like, you know, this is what happened, and this is what my life was like, and then I passed away, and I dearly, you know, miss this person, or I'm trying to find this person. And I'm like, oh, okay, so this is not my imagination. This is not me making something up. This is someone telling me their story and wanting my help. Can I help them?
Yeah.
That's different, right? I'm not having a delusion. I'm not having like a belief that isn't based in reality. I'm not hallucinating. I'm not having weird, like, disorganized behavior or speech patterns. I'm not dressing myself in costumes and going places. Like, I'm not exhibiting that stuff. And schizophrenia tends to happen in your early 20s, and it is uncommon for it to happen when you're middle-aged, like after 45. I'm I am a middle-aged woman. So if that was going to manifest, it would have manifested quite some time ago, not over like the last 7 to 10 years. So I feel safe in that. But if you are a teenager or you're in your early 20s and you're starting to hear voices and you're starting to have some difficulty telling the difference between what's real and what's going on in your mind, you should probably seek some help just to make sure that you're safe. Don't ignore that. Because is serious. And I want people to, you know, remain safe. But that's different than what we're talking about. Unfortunately, it's been my experience thus far that a lot of people who are clairaudient or clairvoyant also walk the line of mental illness, and that they do need some help. Usually it's because they're getting overloaded with the information and they don't know how to cope. So a lot of that will manifest as like some personality disorders like manic depressive stuff. So if you're starting to be bombarded with messages and stuff, it is really important that you find somebody to talk to about your experiences and somebody that you can be really open and honest about what you're going through and how you're behaving. Because sometimes when we have an awakening, it's very disruptive and it can be hard to handle by yourself. So make sure you got a buddy. It's important.
Yeah.
You wouldn't go
buddy system.
Hiking alone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't go off into the paranormal world all by yourself. Have a buddy. Have somebody that you can trust and somebody who you believe when they tell you, I'm not sure that that's really the experience that you're having. You might need to talk to somebody and listen to those people because they love you and they care about you. I just want people to have access to this information, but I don't want them to mistake it for something that it isn't. There is a danger there. Like a lot of people who come into the paranormal community and the magic community are walking the line of needing some help from time to time. We all do, and there's nothing wrong with that. So if you're being overwhelmed by what's going on, have a buddy. Talk to your buddy. And if your buddy says it's time to talk to a doctor, then it's time to talk to a doctor. And if ever you hear something that's telling you to do something harmful to yourself or another living person or another living thing, you need to talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause your spirit guides and your allies are never going to tell you to do anything that's going to do you or anyone else harm. They're just not. They're not into that.
Yeah, it's definitely something people need to keep in mind when they're dealing with stuff like that. You know, if you need to, like, you need to talk to someone, definitely find someone you can trust and you can talk to. We're almost out of time here. This hour went by really fast. I've certainly enjoyed chatting with you tonight. I hope you, if you could just let me know, or let people know how they can get in touch with you, and maybe how they can sign up for your classes as well.
Oh, yeah. you can always email me. It's Ms. M.S. Tangi. That's T like Tammy, A-N-G-E-E, Cassidy, @gmail.com. You can find me on Facebook as Ms. Tangi Cassidy as well. And I have a website that is https, mstangicassidy.podia. It's P like Peter, O, D like David, IA.com. But all of that's linked up. You can find me on YouTube as well. I'm going to go live as soon as we get off of this call in case anybody has any questions and wants to talk about some more stuff, because I'm just here to help. That's my mission, is to help as many people as I can who want help, and to be a better person than I was the day before, and to just bring as much love and light and joy into the world as I possibly can. And while remembering that I'm still just an ego-driven human monster. So,
well, I do appreciate you coming on and chat with me for an hour. I'll try to watch some of your YouTube show, but I'll probably be putting RJ to bed here. He's rubbing his eyes.
Oh, no,
finally
daddy
tired,
first,
so.
You know?
Yeah. And don't forget what we discussed earlier. We would love to have you part of our team. If it works out, it'd be awesome. And, yeah.
Well, and, you know, anytime you need somebody to pinch hit for you, give me a call. I'm more than happy to talk to you about this, that, or the other. It was a pleasure being here, and thanks for having me. Have a wonderful night, and anybody who wants to catch me, I'll see you over on the YouTubes.
Sounds great. Have a good night. Thanks again.
Thanks, Ryan. Goodbye.
All right. Good night.